Yes, very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country, as BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Queensland's embodied knowledge show exhibited diverse range of Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists. Look, with a strong First Nation presence, the Queensland Art Gallery and Gallery of Modern Art's recent embodied knowledge exhibition featured 19 artists from across Queensland, highlights issues of Indigenous artists, voices of women and LGBTQIA and artists. We're going to catch over yarn now with one of the co-curator. That's Katina Davison on the line. Katina, good morning, sister. How are you?
Morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, art is a fantastic vehicle where people can tell stories or share their life or even in a political sense, but also in a spiritual sense, I would say. So tell us about this fantastic this movement and this exhibition, please, Katina.
Yeah, sure. So this exhibition has been in development for a number of years now. We actually started researching and developing this before COVID.
Yes.
And my co-curator, Ellie Buttrose, and I were really lucky that we got to travel across a lot of Queensland looking for, you know, doing studio visits with mob and with artists and really seeing what people were excited by, what issues artists are making work about, and also what kind of inspiration or new directions that they've been inspired by in their practices.
And bringing it to an exhibition and, like I said, a time to express and educate and empower, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of these artists, you know, were travelling around and having yarns with people, and with some of them we were actually able to commission them to make new artwork. And so, you know, using the resources available down in Brisbane here where we're based, and, you know, getting artists to realise bigger projects or bigger dreams with the assistance of our workshop team back down here in Brisbane. So it's been really exciting to be able to work with these artists on visions of newer and bigger artworks that otherwise might not have been available.
So embodied knowledge, where will the exhibition be?
It's in Queensland Art Gallery,
okay,
which is based in Brisbane.
Sure, and the time duration that's going to be exhibited?
It's on until the end of January.
All right, January next year, 23, plenty of time, that's right. So if you're going down to see family, you're going down to watch football, or you're going down for a holiday, drop in and check it out, my sister. Fantastic. And what about your co-curator there, Ali Buttrose? How did you guys get together and come up with the concept?
Well, our director really wanted us to kind of revisit this idea of doing a survey of Queensland artists. And so her and I were paired together. So I'm the curator of Indigenous art here at the gallery, and she's a curator of contemporary Australian art.
Sure.
So we just kind of put our heads together, made a travel list. So we were going up to Zenith Cares, Cairns, Townsville, stopped in at Cardwell, as well as, you know, driving distance around southeast Queensland here, and just kind of started to research and connect with artists and art centres. And really it was up to us to kind of put forward who we're interested in.
And doing the road trip to paint the picture, have the vision, and turn in reality, so to speak, Katina.
Yeah, it's been a long ride. like I said, we were lucky that our research travel happened before COVID.
Yes.
And, you know, the exhibition was meant to be a little bit earlier than when it was. But that also meant that a lot of artists had a little bit more time to develop the ideas for new artworks or you know, have that time to create even new artworks that they hadn't even, you know, had at that initial period when we got to visit them.
Yeah. And look, it gives another arm, so to speak, another platform for our artists to showcase their work, you know. You come knocking on the door, have the yarns, so to speak, and they are artists in their own right, but also stepping into the business world as artists. So this is just a, how you say, another opportunity to showcase their work.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the artists, we also made a really good catalogue too, which should be available online.
Okay.
But also it was really important for me and for Ellie to be able to write essays about these artists and their practice and, you know, really write them into the art history of Queensland, which is what we're doing through these catalogues, and really give, you know, acknowledgement to those communities and those artists where, you know, where that's due.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at the so-called rapage and pillage of First Nation art, I'm using it as an example, it's very sad how that has happened. And here he is keeping it real, using such a platform, and authentic in regard to the art pieces.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, being able to have that dialogue back and forward with the artists and, you know, making sure that permission is granted where, you know, where it has to be and protocols are followed where they have to be as well, which is a really important and, you know, I'm really proud to be able to say that we got to do that with these artists in this show.
Well, too, Deadly, thank you very much for sharing, my sister, and a big shout-out to Ali Buttrose as well, your co-curator, also the Queensland Art Gallery and Gallery of Modern Arts. Look, fantastic. And Embodied Knowledge Exhibition, so thank you, and all the best. Please do keep in touch, sis.
Thank you. Please come down. Let me know anytime.
Lovely. Take care, Katina. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Katina Davison, her name is, and she's a co-curator with Ali Buttrose in the exhibition of Embodied Knowledge and Queensland's Embodied Knowledge show exhibits diverse range of Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists as well, you know. So it's fantastic. Another platform and just supporting artists in Queensland. And a big shout out to Queensland Art Gallery and the Gallery of Modern Arts. Fantastic. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here? National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
Was this me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There's a sign saying And with my time, I'll make the most and spend my time with my family. We'll go out where we should be. I'll listen to my grandfather's stories. I won't be in a hurry. Spend my time with my family.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
The other of the line. said, now you better move on. I said, you better watch out. You better move on before you come. He's my eat tonight.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Too Deadly, going to jump straight in, have a deadly yarn there with our beautiful sister, Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist, and I broke my jaw trying to pronounce that, a beautiful profession. Recognising the importance of First Nations culture and health and healing past culture and economic injustice. So come to join me, my beautiful sister Vanessa. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm deadly. Thank you.
Of course you're deadly. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, sissy.
My people are from Yulpungati and in Cape York and Miriam or Murray Island in the Torres Strait.
Yes, beautiful footprints. So, look, you wear many hats. We talk about a social epidemiologist and a cultural broker and a senior decision maker. So enlighten us, please, about these hats that you wear and how it empowers you to operate in and looking after our mob going into the future, sister.
Okay, so as a social epidemiologist, I look at behavioural patterns. Mm. And I used to do it a lot in data and then help translate it into policy and government policy as well as community policy and working with the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services.
Mm.
You
were doing that where in Sydney?
Yes, I've done that for a good 18 years of my life.
Okay. You decided to come home with your profession.
I did.
Good.
And
continue.
Yeah, and I was yarning to one of my friends, and she said to me, it's about transference. It's about skills transference. How do we now bring our skill set into where we live with our community? And I sat with that for a while, and and I thought, right, how do we do that? And when I left Sydney last year, I came home to look after my parents. I've got aging parents.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what? I don't want to take a chance and go back to Sydney and someone passes away and I spend all day travelling trying to come home.
Yes,
how do I bring my skill set home? And so that brings me into cultural brokering.
Cultural brokering.
Yes.
Yep.
And that senior decision-making role is part of what I've already sort of accomplished in my career as a social epidemiologist.
Mm.
And I sort of sat back and looked at it and went, well, you know what, I do a lot of negotiating discussions. I also do business plans. I also know how to look at data sets and I know how to, like, translate that into policy.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, was cultural brokering. But many years ago, my grandmother actually said to me back in 2004 or 2003, she said to me, we're listening to the radio and how the government was actually, not supporting our families and our kids. And my grandmother actually said to me in the Torres Strait, she said, go and teach them our culture before they kill our children.
Whoa, that's deep.
Yeah.
Deep message.
It was
a very speaking, the wise ones.
Yep. And I remember saying to her, I've got cousins that don't work. I've got a job. And she said, no, go.
You're professional.
Mm.
Your grandmother is a professor.
Yes.
With that statement.
Yes.
Virtually like a little bitch slap to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you arrived. No.
No.
But you're open-minded, you're student for life, and you learn from your elder.
Mm.
And now you're running with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it opens so many more doors and cultural doors. Because, I was up in Mur on Murray Island.
Yeah.
And my dad passed away recently, so I went home for healing.
Condolences, darling.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. It's all good. It was the most beautiful thing was stepping on your own country.
Mm.
And, feeling that aspect of I'm home.
Mm.
And then I've also gone up to my family up in Cape York.
Yes.
And the same thing. And that whole feeling of, okay, I know what to do. I'm home.
You know where you are where you need to be. Mm.
Exactly. Mm. And you start seeing things differently.
Yes.
And that brings us, and that helped me bring it all together. And so I started having these discussions back in last year with my colleagues, my business partners, Bibi Barber and Lydia Miller.
Big shout-out, sisters.
Yes, big shout-out to my sisters. And about developing a cultural embassy, and which is about putting our culture into digital technologies. Mm. And, like, you know, because that's as a social epidemiologist, I'm used to working with digital.
Sure.
With data.
Sure.
So it's that skills transference.
Sure.
You know, and bringing it back and saying, okay, what can I do?
The first people should be on that platform. 21st century.
Exactly. We shouldn't
60,000 years old.
We shouldn't wait 250 years to play catch up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's bitch slapping.
Yeah, thank you. That is. Yeah, with capital B.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of going back home to Murray Island.
Mm.
So I did two things. I was sitting down with the old people and I showed them my genealogy papers that I got done many, many years ago with a genealogy department from the science department from La Trobe University.
Mm.
And it identified my mother, it did my bloodline, but only my mother's lines going back.
Yep.
And it went back 45,000 years for Cape York and the Torres Strait.
Oh, yes.
You know? That.
Powerful.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that's science. Mm. That's not ancestry.com.
No.
This is science. Thank this is a real science.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I remember sitting there and showing it
to
them.
Murray got goosebumps here.
They sat there, like, the science, the elders. And the next minute, you know, like, that conversation, like, and the couple of days later, I said to them, you know, I'm doing this thing in the blockchain.
Mm.
And I explained to them, like, you know, I want to bring the culture into the blockchain. And they were like, what is that? You know, like, and I'm explaining it, you know, it's digital technologies. We bring our culture into the digital technology world because we already have, you know, you think about it, we already have that connection to the spiritual world.
Mm.
The Age of Reason made, basically brought science and maths into the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now combined both. Because we've been here longer than 60-odd thousand plus years.
Yes.
And so as we come out the other side, it's like, well, now we're doing this digital technology and creating this Web 3. And how do we now preserve our cultural rights so that it's not stolen here as well?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there was a silence amongst the elders. And, you know, that silence was for me to go for a walk and let them all think about it.
Sure.
Now, when I came back, the first question they asked me, they didn't say to me like, oh, Vanessa, you know, how does this work? What do we do? Da, 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 da. There's nothing like that.
No.
Their very first question was, how do we maintain intellectual property?
Mm.
That right there tells you how evolving our culture is.
Yes. And also the permission in that question for you to go ahead.
Yeah. Right there.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was the steps are huge in that space.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's something I really wanted to share with people. And if they wanted more information, they can reach out to us.
Yes.
We've nearly finalised the webpage.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're nearly, we're at the same time, you know how these things happen really fast when the ancestors make a decision. Like, they're not waiting for us to finalise the webpage. They've already made the decision. So we're going to be talking to, the UK on a panel very soon. You know, we're doing all of these things globally.
Yes.
Talking about what we've done.
Yes.
And what we're doing.
Do you know of any other First Nation peoples on the globe who've done this?
I know people that are working with non-Indigenous people.
Yes.
But I don't know anybody that's three Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people, women, that have stepped up to do this.
Sure, but there's no platform there for, like, American Indians, for example, any First Nation people on the globe.
There is a there's not a platform for, so no Indigenous, like, so let me say it like this. So we're the first Indigenous owned, okay, but there have been countries that have stepped up as a whole. So, like, El Salvador, like, Barbados.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And they've created their, they're turning their whole currency into, say, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency,
yes,
which is all part of the blockchain.
Okay.
And the thing about the whole blockchain is it is decentralized.
Mm.
And it has, and what it means is, like, in that decentralized, so we already come from a decentralized culture.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so we're already a step ahead of the game because we already know how that all works.
Mm, exactly.
The other thing about the whole blockchain and everything is that it's also about creating a ledger.
Mm.
And this is a ledger that makes it transparent in the way financial dealings are done.
So this is a platform to nurture, protect our culture, but also financial vehicle. That's
exactly
what I'm picking up.
It becomes an economic empowerment.
Yes.
On a big scale.
Whoa.
Yes.
I've always said we are rich being black.
Oh.
We've just got to get our skin in the game. We've got to get proactive in the different avenues that are out there. Yeah, using our culture as the vehicle.
And being clever about it.
Instead being clever about it,
yeah,
yes.
Don't give it away. We see too many people giving it away.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
That
rapage and pillage in the cultural sense.
Exactly.
In the
and the
knowledge.
They think they're deadly and you're like, no, you just gave our culture.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's one thing to turn around and say, I'm going to be the cultural person working for Google.
But, sure.
But what is Google giving back to you?
Well, exactly. It's a two-way street sort of
exactly.
thing, you know.
Exactly.
But with respect to our First Nation people who are operating in our space, with respect to them, but some of them are running naive. Yeah, the intentions are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, heart and spirit's all good, but the knowledge of how the so-called system works in the white man world, naive to it.
Exactly, you know? And I think also we've been had so much colonisation, 250 years of colonisation.
Mm. Hello.
Yeah, so, and there's 25 years in a generation.
Mm. And the non-Indigenous people have been trained for the last 250 years how to rapage and pillage.
Exactly.
Our mob.
Exactly.
You know, and it's talk forked tongue.
Exactly.
To get what they want, to make their billions.
And that fork turns into a knife.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
Yeah.
This is powerful, my sister. And so there's three of you in the team, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Lydia and...
Lydia Miller, Bibi Barber and myself.
Okay, lovely. And, this is not a woman's group.
No.
They just happen to be there. More power to you, girls.
The thing is, like, you know, we are all intelligent and talented
just
women.
Just happen to be females.
That's
and
right.
Girls can do anything, but more power to you. But male, I'm getting excited here.
But it's, in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's the thing is, like, the you know, our team, we've also got Aboriginal and Torres Islander men.
Yeah, beautiful, yes.
You know, okay. As attachés.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. So creating this, how far are we away from this becoming reality, so to speak, or were you out with it? And how do the grassroots people get involved? And are we talking about your cultural people, your tribal people, or is this across the nation for all First Nation people, all 250-odd tribes?
Yeah. All across the nation.
We can template it.
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing you should always do, I believe, is go home to your own people and ask them what they think. So that's why I went home to Mur.
Yeah, good.
You know, and I asked them because it's, you know, my grandmother came from Murray Island, from Mur, and it was the culture I was raised in.
Yes.
And when I came to the mainland, we were raised in our Aboriginal culture, which I'm so grateful for because having the balance of both worlds.
Exactly.
And so, and that is the importance here is to bring that balance together. But it's we've got 250 nations.
Sure, exactly.
And we want to make sure that we get this right. So exactly. We're working with lawyers.
Okay.
We're making sure that, and we're working with IP lawyers, and we're working, you know, and some of the lawyers have said to us, you know, like, we'll work pro bono for you if you'll come and work pro bono for us, Vanessa. And, you know, as a social epidemiologist, like, okay, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
What do you want? Let's
do it. There's the two-way street.
Yep.
Not taking something from me,
exactly.
But I'm taking some from you too.
No, it's reciprocity.
Mm. Yes.
We give it back to our people all the time.
Reciprocity, yes.
And the other thing about, when we talk about giving back, the other thing I wanted to yarn about in my hat as a cultural broker, because I've also got another company or project that I've set up, it's a project called Gub Sagir.
Gub Sagir, and explain?
Well, Gub Sagir is like the northeast wind.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what it means. And, you know, the northeast wind, as we all know, is that beautiful, calm wind that just brings with it...
life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful win. And in
oh my God, goosebumps.
Yeah, and in parts
on my goosebumps.
On top of goosebumps. and throughout Asia, it's the same meaning. It's the wind of good fortune.
Yes. Yeah. So can First Nation people invest in this concept? How's that work?
So what we're doing with Gubsager is that we're so my colleagues and I'm working with some Chinese Australian investors, and what we're doing is we've been talking to the Torres Strait, and we're just discussing about how we can actually create projects that enhance sovereignty.
Yeah.
So we're not doing the whole thing of rape and pillage. We're actually standing there and saying, well, what do you guys want? How can we meet you halfway? You know, if you've got the land, we don't want to buy the land. How do we lease the land so that you continuously get rent?
Royalty income.
Well, for 99
exactly,
years.
Yes.
So, and that money can go into a community centre or a gym or solar panels for all the houses.
And if we're talking about the land that's been taken away from us, the Australian government, the Commonwealth, cannot afford to pay back what they owe black people. And if we're talking interest, well, it's way out of the ballpark. So here's the clean slate in the regard to the decision we make for moving forward, and here's the rules of engagement.
Exactly, and we need to change the economic model.
Yeah.
Because all too often our people go, I've got the land, oh, we need the money, and they sell it. And it's like, no, stop.
Exactly.
We own the land. Yeah. Now we're going to rent it to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And we are still the landowners and the landlords of our land.
Yes.
And anything you build on that, you need to check in with us. Because it's like a rental. If you rent a house, you can't go around and dig a hole.
No. Get permission
first. You've got to get permission.
Exactly.
You can't just go and hang a painting on the wall.
You can't extend the garage.
No. You can't put stairs coming down because you just want to.
That's right.
You can't dig a hole for a pool.
You can't be big note in your crack.
That's
without asking for permission.
And that's what I'm trying to build in here.
Oh, deadly.
So we have a new economic model
deadly.
Where we have sovereign rights. We empower our people.
Deadly. Fantastic. And you look at your profession, social immunologist, and working down in Sydney, not so much for First Nation organisation, just for mainstream all your life, yeah?
No. So
universities?
I worked for University of Sydney.
Okay, sure.
I was at University of Queensland, then Griffith Uni, and then University of Sydney. Prior to that, I was at Education Queensland. But as a social epidemiologist for the last 18 years, but my focus was on Indigenous health. That was my major.
Sure.
Everything I did was in line with the community controlled. I did my whole PhD focused on the Aboriginal community controlled and how they actually balanced our kinship.
Sure, beautiful. Yep.
And so that's what I knew I couldn't do anything with data or technology unless I could balance kinship.
But with that professional vehicle, the JOB that you were doing for universities, you're just taking your profession for your people now.
Yes,
and
more
use
so.
That as the vehicle, so to speak.
Exactly.
Which is empowering not only to you as an individual, but for your mob.
Exactly.
For all our mobs.
Yeah.
This is too deadly, my sister. So how far are we out from it? I mean, that's the question. I mean, you're getting a web page set up.
Yes, I've
got. Then where from there? I've
already had the, with Gubsager, I've already sent a business plan to the Torres Strait.
Yes.
To traditional. I went and spoke to traditional landowners first.
Yes.
Because too many times everybody goes and speaks to government or the leaders on the land and no one talks to traditional landowners.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
So I've gone from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And that's not that the decision is now with them.
Yeah.
So that's out of my hands now. So.
And if they say no.
Yeah.
What's plan B?
Well, I will find other avenues.
Sure, exactly. But respecting the decision from the elders.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
But see, I also am going to talk to the tradition. Like, I've spoken to the traditional landowners.
Yep.
And I went home to my own people first.
Yep.
And, like, I waited to hear what they would say.
Mm.
And when they said to me, yeah, go on, we want to do this.
Yeah.
So I've already got traditional landowner support.
Yeah.
So if the people in council or in government say no, then I'm being transparent. It's not me that's holding
exactly.
it up. It's the government. It's their own. Again, it goes back to that conversation.
Exactly.
Our people, being ignorant.
Yeah.
And
arrogant. Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And not thinking about the people at the grassroots.
We're going to have more yarns about this, my sister. You've been on this program a couple of times now. Now that you've come home, do utilise this program. This is a very important vehicle that you're building here, and we want to be part of that conversation to educate our mob. And like I said, template across this country, if not globally, for all First Nation people.
Exactly.
The rape and pillage to all First Nation people on this globe is horrendous.
Exactly.
It needs to stop.
It needs to stop.
In the 21st century.
That's right.
Exactly.
Are You Okay needs to be more than just a physical presence.
Thank you. We are You Okay, and a big shout out to all our beautiful people out there. Are You Okay? That's the question you need to ask as well. But there's a beautiful yarn here with Sister Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist, and a beautiful platform vehicle that she's building. And we'll be yarning more. But thank you for the yarn, my sister. And we'll talk soon, eh?
Yes, thank you all.
All right, too deadly. Too beautiful. Beautiful yarn there. Look out for an educated black person. And there's one in the studio right now. I'm not talking about the bully one. I'm talking about the beautiful lady across from me. That's Vanessa Lee Armat. Have you saying yarn up strong here, National Talk Black.